this relationship with ICE. Any change at all in the county's relationship with ICE on this?
Not that I've heard of. And I think you're right that it's the only county that has entered into this 287G agreement. So it's a great place for ICE Free to be pressuring, because there just needs to be a change in terms of, you know, truly representing Rensselaer County and all of the people who care for immigrants, who are immigrants, who want to see justice happen.
Do you know when the new county sheriff election takes place?
I don't.
Yeah, because they weren't up recently, so I don't know if it was a 4-year term, so maybe the next cycle it comes up. I also understand on February 1st at 5 o'clock, the Capital District Board of Watch is having a meeting, going back to Zoom because of COVID. Tuesday, February 1st. I assume you want more people to get involved with Capital District Board of Watch.
We would love to. And the easiest access point is to join our Facebook group, because everything that we do is announced on our Facebook group. But people can also feel free to email me, K-A-B-E-E-T-L-E at AOL.com, and I'll add you to our email list. So yes, we absolutely want more involvement. People are welcome to join on Zoom. That's also listed on our Facebook group. And just get a sense of who we are. As an organization, we represent a lot of people who have been working on immigration issues for years, have worked on the other side in some of the countries where immigrants are coming from. So we're a pretty vibrant and committed group.
So we've been talking with Karen Beadle, who is the co-coordinator of Capital District Border Watch. That's the New York for All Act. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
Monday, January 31st, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the radio at WGXC 90.7, including at 9 a.m., Jack Sensabaugh talks with Cindy LaPierre of the Mountaintop Historical Society on the WGXC Morning Show. And at 10 a.m., take off on the Afrosonic Taxi with tracks from Remy Ongala, Juwada Jazz, and Dorothy Masuka, among others. And Brendan Donegan is playing favorites at 11 a.m., live from the WGXC studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street in Hudson. He'll be spinning Tammy Wynette, Roxy Music, and others. Then on the Deep Three shows, after the local news at noon, hear music from Ramin Djawadi, Maria Kasper, and Steve Swallow. New music from Muslim gods Jessica Pavone and Stefan Brazjo are among the artists featured on the Vital Weekly show at 2 p.m. And Elizabeth Lugidis listens to local owls on the Echo Location show at 3 p.m. Then at 10 p.m., Mike Watt, legendary bassist from the Minutemen, Firehosen for Iggy Pop's band, talks with Elka Bong from Chester, New York, and Lowell, Massachusetts on the Watt from Pedro show on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Georgia, and I'm from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate,
books we hate, bookish things. And we're sometimes joined by other friends, but lately it's been the two of us.
If anybody wants to join, just creep up to me at my house and scare me at night.
You know, or contact the library.
Yeah. Better idea.
Yeah.
Either or.
But yeah, we talk about books every week on the radio.
Yep.
And it's fun.
That's what we do.
Do you have a book you want to talk about this week?
Yes, I sure do. So this book is called, also known as Harper, and it's by Anne Haywood Leal.
Yay.
And this is a really good book. So I was just hooked on it. So for hours on end, I just sat in my empty room and read it. So it was awesome to read. It's such a great book. Okay, so I will read the description. Harper Lee Morgan is an inspiring poet, which isn't surprising, seeing as how she's named after her mama's favorite writer, Harper Lee. And life is giving her a lot to write about just now. Daddy up and walked out, leaving them broke. Then Harper's family gets evicted. With Mama scrambling to find work, Harper has to skip school to care for her little brother, Hemingway. Their lives have been turned upside down, which Harper could just about handle if it wasn't for the writing contest at school. If only she could get up on that stage and read her poems out loud. I would rate this book a 9 out of 10. The one point taken off is that it sort of made me really sad, but it's good because it just puts you into perspective of how privileged we are to be able to have homes and
I hear ya. Maybe it should get an extra point for making you feel sad.
Okay, that's true. So back up to 5 stars. Back up to 5. I'd say it's a 4.5.
That's a good score.
I had to choose a solid number from 1 to 10. I guess I do 4.
Most books that I rate in a 5-point scale get a 3 or a 4. And occasionally I give a 5. And one that I gave a 5 to recently, at least I think I did, pretty sure I gave it a 5, was a picture book that made me sob.
So sad.
There's occasionally picture books that make me sob, and they're usually about pets that pass away.
Oh, what was that picture book?
It was called The Longest Let's Go Boy, and it's just so sweet. It was really beautifully done, and it just made me sob.
Have you ever read the book Saying Goodbye to Lulu?
No.
It's a picture book about losing a pet.
It's a theme. There's a bunch of them. I mean, it's an experience that a lot of kids go through. And sometimes it's their first experience with death, too. It's always sad. I still miss all my pets.
My old dog died when I was 5. She was 15 when she died. She is a border collie and lab mix. And my mom had her since she is a little, like, less than a year old. Yeah, almost, so like, very new.
Little baby. Yeah. That's hard.
Now I have a new dog who I got 2 years ago, and she's 3, and she's a, wait, huh? Wait, that doesn't make, huh? Just that, I don't know. I got her 2 years ago, and she is the cutest little thing. And then I have my kitty who was a stray, and she adopted us when I was 5. Right after Mara died. And I named her Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth Coco Jassy III.
Lovely name.
Thank you. All created long. By this. Yes. She's royalty, so it has to be long. For some reason, I have this obsession with naming animals either after food or like royalty.
Funny.
I really like naming animals after royalty. In science class, we have this fish named Lester. I asked my science teacher if I could create a full name for him, and they said yes. So the Lester's new name is Sir Lester Reginald III. Wait, no, it was Sir Lester Reginald XIII.
A lot of them. Well, speaking of books, I'm glad you liked that book. And it reminds me, because I've met Anne Haywood Leal at the Hudson Children's Book Festival in previous years. And it reminds me how much I'm hoping that book festival eventually comes back because I love it so much.
Oh, the one at the Hudson High School?
Yeah, it's a really special festival.
Oh, I missed that one. Up until COVID, I went every single year since I moved to Hudson. I loved it. I wish that they started up again. There I actually met the illustrator of the Beverly Cleary books. That was fun.
Yeah.
Oh, and
meet lots of nice people.
So have you read that book, also known as Harper?
I have not, I don't think.
It's a really good book.
Yeah, it sounds really good. It sounds like a 4.5 kind of good. But I've just, I have a lot of books on my to-read list. And some of them recently won awards. This week, the American Library Association announced their Youth Media Awards, which they give out. Most of them are given out annually. There's some awards that are announced that are given out on like even years or odd years or something like that. And so I'm not going to share all of the award winners because you can find that information online. But I wanted to highlight a handful of them that are on my to-read list that are moving their way up in the list. So I'll start with the Newbery Award. And so it's technically, it's the John Newbery Medal, but it's known as the Newbery Medal. And it's awarded annually for the author of the most distinguished contribution to the American literature for children. And the winner this year was The Last Cuentista by Donna Barba Higuera. And it looks really good. We have it in our collection. I actually saw it on the shelf today and I was tempted to take it out, but I'm in the middle of a couple of books, so I feel like I should finish them first.
It's sort of cool that you're the library director and you can just take out books from your own library.
But so can everybody else in town.
Well, yeah.
But I get to see them every day.
Imagine if you were like, it's my library, only mine.
They're all my books.
That would be very unlike you.
Yes, I like very to share.
You're a sharer.
I'm a sharer. But anyways, I will read the description for The Last Cuentista because as I mentioned, I have not read it. It's on my to-be-read list, TBR. So here's the description. There lived a girl named Petra Peña who wanted nothing more than to be a storyteller like her abuelita. But Petra's world is ending. Earth has been destroyed by a comet, and only a few hundred scientists and their children, among them Petra and her family, have been chosen to journey to a new planet. They are the ones who must carry on the human race. Hundreds of years later, Petra wakes to this new planet and the discovery that she is the only person who remembers Earth. A sinister collective has taken over the ship during its journey, bent on erasing the sins of humanity's past. They have systematically purged the memories of all aboard, or purged them altogether. Petra alone now carries the stories of our past, and with them any hope for our future. Can she make them live again? It sounds really
good. Oh my gosh. So is that a novel?
Yes.
I want
to read
it.
It's a middle grade novel.
I really, really want to read that.
Yeah.
I really want to read that.
Very good. And let's see. It is suggested for ages 10 to 14. So a nice fit for someone your age. So that one, the Newbery Medal. Next up, I'll share the book that won the Prince Award, the Michael L. Prince Award, and that's for a book that exemplifies literary excellence in young adult literature. And this book also won another award. It also won the William S. Morris Award, which is an award for a debut author. And it is called Firekeeper's Daughter by Angeline Bouley. And this is the description for this one. As a biracial, unenrolled tribal member and the product of scandal, 18-year-old Donice Fontaine has never quite fit in, both in her hometown and on the nearby Ojibwe reservation. Donice dreams of studying medicine, but when her family is struck by tragedy, she puts her future on hold to care for her fragile mother. The only bright spot is meeting Jamie, the charming new recruit on her brother Levi's hockey team. Yet even as Donice falls for Jamie, certain details don't add up, and she senses the dashing hockey star is hiding something. Everything comes to light when Donice witnesses a shocking murder, thrusting her into the heart of a criminal investigation. Reluctantly, Donice agrees to go undercover, but secretly pursues her own investigation, tracking down the criminals with her knowledge of chemistry and traditional medicine. But the deceptions and deaths keep piling up, and soon the threat strikes too close to home. Now Dunnies must learn what it means to be a strong Anishinaabe Kwe, an Ojibwe woman, and how far she'll go to protect her community, even if it tears apart the only world she's ever known. That's the Firekeeper's
that
Daughter. That's been on my list for a long time. That one's geared more towards young adults. I forget the age range.
I'm still
but I'll read it and I'll report back on what age I think it's appropriate for. I actually have that one checked out on Libby right now. So as soon as I finish up my current read, I'm going to dive into that one.
I can't use Libby because I lost my library card. So I don't know my PIN or my number.
We will fix that after the radio show. We're going to fix it.
You are the best.
There's no reason to not have access to your library card.
You are the best. Well, there is a reason, which is in the move, it got lost.
Well, there's no reason for it not to be solved, is what I'm saying.
Oh, thank you. You're the best.
Yeah. You're welcome. So I also wanted to, I have a couple more to share, but I wanted to mention that the Margaret A. Edwards Award, which honors an author as well as a specific body of their work for significant and lasting contribution to young adult literature, this year went to A.S. King for three of her books, Ask the Passengers, Gloria O'Brien's History of the Future, and Please Ignore Vera Dietz, which were all three books that I really loved. And Ask the Passengers by A.S. King is one of my favorite books for young adults. So I was really excited that she won that. She's written so many great teen books. And then I will share one of the books that won, I think it won a couple awards, maybe some honors, because a lot of the awards, they give honors and then they give the medal. So they have sort of like the runners up, like esteemed titles. But yeah, so it won the Asian Pacific American Award for Literature for the Youth Literature category. And then it also won a Stonewall Book Award. Is Last Night at the Telegraph Club by Melinda Lowe. I've also read some other books by her that I really liked, and this one's been on my list for a while, so I will definitely be getting to this soon. And this one also is a book for teens, and here's the description. That book, it was about two women, and they fell in love with each other. And then Lily asked the question that had taken root in her, that was even now unfurling its leaves and demanding to be shown the sun. Have you ever heard of such a thing? 17-year-old Lily Hu can't remember exactly when the question took root, but the answer was in full bloom the moment she and Kathleen Miller walked under the flashing neon sign of a lesbian bar called the Telegraph Club. America in 1954 is not a safe place for two girls to fall in love, especially not in Chinatown. Red Scare paranoia threatens everyone, including Chinese Americans like Lily. With deportation looming over her father, despite his hard-won citizenship, Lily and Kath risk everything to let their love see the light of day. And I've heard from a lot of people who have read this book that just loved it, including one of our previous Bound by Books co-hosts.
Oh, cool. That really book enjoyed. Also sounds really good.
Yeah, these librarians sometimes know how to pick out a good book.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
You have such
I will say
good book.
There was another Stonewall Book Award winner. There were two winners. One middle grade and one young adult. And the middle grade winner was Too Bright to See by Kyle Lukoff, which I really loved. That one's not on my to-read list because I've already read it, but it was really great middle grade sort of mix of like contemporary fiction and ghost story. That was really nice. And let's see, I can also share for the Pura Belpre Awards, which are named after a librarian, Pura Belpre. She was the first Latina librarian at the New York Public Library. And this award is presented every year to a Latino or Latina writer and illustrator whose work best portrays, affirms, and celebrates the Latino cultural experience in an outstanding work of literature for children and youth. And so there's illustration winners, author winners. They also have a young adult author award. And so I already shared the middle grade winner for the author was The Last Cuentista. Forgot to mention, it also won that award. And then another one on my to-read list is the Young Adult Author winner, which is, the winner was Raquel Vasquez Gilliland, who wrote the book, How Moon Fuentes Fell in Love with the Universe. And here's the description. A romance starring a Mexican-American teen who discovers love and profound truths about the universe when she spends her summer on a road trip across the country. When her twin sister reaches social media stardom, Moon Fuentes accepts her fate as the ugly, unwanted sister hidden in the background, destined to be nothing more than her sister's camera woman. But this summer, Moon also takes a job as the merch girl on a tour bus full of beautiful influencers, and her fate begins to shift in the best way possible. Most notable is her bunkmate and new nemesis, Santiago Phillips, who is grumpy, combative, and also the hottest guy Moon has ever seen. Moon is certain she hates Santiago and that he hates her back, but it's chance and destiny, and maybe probably close proximity, bring the two of them in each other's perpetual paths. Moon starts to wonder if that's really true. She even starts to question her destiny as the unnoticed, unloved wallflower she always thought she was. Could this summer change Moon's life as she knows it? And I think what I am most drawn to about this book is I love a good road trip book. There are a number of them, but there aren't that many of them at the same time. And I'm actually not generally that fond of romance or like romance-centered stories, but occasionally they work for me. And so I feel like an award-winning romance that includes a road trip, it might be one I can get behind. But that was How Moon Fuentes Fell in Love with the Universe by Raquel Vasquez Gilliland. And then, as I mentioned, I'm not going to tell you all of the winners because there's so many, but I will share one more. And this is the middle grade winner for the Sydney Taylor Book Award, which recognizes titles for children and teens that exemplify high literary standards while authentically portraying the Jewish experience. And this one is a book that's in our middle grade collection, and it's called How to Find What You're Not Looking For by Veera Hiranandani. And this is the description. New historical fiction from a Newbery Honor winning author about how middle schooler Ariel Goldberg's life changes when her big sister elopes following the 1967 Loving versus Virginia decision. And she's forced to grapple with both her family's prejudice and the anti-Semitism she experiences as she defines her own beliefs. 12-year-old Ariel Goldberg's life feels like the moment after the final guest leaves the party. Her family's Jewish bakery runs into financial trouble, and her older sister has eloped with a young man from India following the Supreme Court decision that strikes down laws banning interracial marriage. As change becomes Ariel's only constant, she's left to hone something that will be with her always, her own voice. I like the sentence in this description, 12-year-old Ariel Goldberg's life feels like the moment after the final guest leaves the party. I don't know, something about that sentence really draws me in. So this one's been on my to read list for a while too. And I don't know, getting a little acclaim from other librarians makes me want to push it up the list.
Push it up.
But anyways, if people want to find out about all of the award winners, you can go online and look up American Library Association Youth Media Awards or ALA Youth Media Awards, and you can get the lists of all of the different books that were listed as honor books and winners. But I think they picked out some really great books. I haven't read all of them, but I had read a number of the books that were awarded this year.
Yay!
So I'm hoping next week that I'll have some more books to talk about. Maybe some of those I can elaborate on. I've just finished a couple adult books that I was reading, so I'm ready to have to, and I have a couple of graphic novels to wrap up, and then I'm going to be able to start a fresh new book. What's next on your to read list?
Pretty much every book that you just talked about.
Yay! Or whatever's available on Libby once we get your card working.
Well, yeah. Once I get onto Libby, I'm just going to be blowing it up because I haven't had Libby in, because it was on my old iPad and then I got a new one about a year ago. So I haven't had Libby for about, I don't know, a year? Probably more than that, like a year and a half.
Good thing you have Epic.
I've gone so long without my Libby.
Well, if anyone else out there needs help figuring out their library card, I'll help you out too. It's not just special treatment. Yeah.
Libraries are my greatest things.
Aww. I love libraries too. That's why I work in one.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Is there a vice director at every library? So if the vice director, I mean, if the main director, got, or never mind. If something happens,
what's happening to me?
Who would take over?
Oh, that's for the board to decide. I'm sure we have a great staff at my library that when I'm not able to work, if I'm sick or if I have things I need to take care of, they really run the show and they do a great job. But yes, if something happened to me and I could not be here, the library would hire a new director. But I'm sure they would put somebody as interim in the meantime.
I was hoping that you'd say that they'd find new zombie technology and rise you from your grave.
You want a zombie librarian?
Now I just want you to stay alive.
I'd be a bad zombie. So I don't eat meat. Maybe I'd be really safe to be around. I'd be one of those vegetable eating zombies.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, brains technically aren't meat.
Oh, so I'm just going to eat brains. But I don't eat anything that comes from an animal, so human included. Oh,
maybe you'd just eat burritos all day.
Burrito zombie.
Yum.
I read a book about that.
I like eating zombies.
That's not good for you. But anyways, hopefully it won't come to that.
Dun, dun, dun.
But the show must come to a close. And
wait, if you're not going to do it, I have to do it.
Woo!
That is the first show ever without somebody doing the woo. Or yay.
Yay.
Or cool, or nice, or awesome, or yeah, most of the cool, nice, awesome ones are me.
Yeah, I just make weird sounds. But
I do too.
We are out of time for today. No more time for weird sounds. But we hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then,
happy reading.
Whoop, whoop.
À ceux qui n'en ont pas, à ceux qui n'en ont pas, Rosa, Rosa, quand on fout le bordel, tu nettoies. Et toi, Albert, quand on trinque, tu ramasses les verres. Céline, Bataire, toi tu te prends des vestes au vestiaire. Arlette, arrête. Toi la fête, tu la passes aux toilettes. Et si on célébrait ceux qui ne célèbrent pas? Pour une fois, j'aimerais lever mon verre à ceux qui n'en ont pas, à ceux qui n'en ont pas. Quoi les bonnes manières? Pourquoi je ferais semblant? De toute façon, elle est payée pour le faire. Tu te prends pour ma mère? Dans une heure, je reviens, que ce soit propre, qu'on puisse y manger par terre. 3 heures que j'attends. Franchement, il est fabrique ou quoi? Heureusement que c'est que de verre. Appelle-moi ton responsable et fais vite, elle pourrait se finir comme ça, ta carrière. Oui, célébrons ceux qui ne célèbrent pas. Encore une fois, j'aimerais lever mon verre à ceux qui n'en ont pas. À ceux qui n'en ont pas.
frotter. Mieux vaut ne pas si frotter, frotter. Si tu ne me connais pas,